Are you ready for a history lesson, Bible history lesson, from the book of Matthew that we just had read there? And we're going to try to figure out in this history lesson that you probably have heard bits and pieces of before, what's the message of this visit from the Magi, the wise men, the three kings? Wait a minute, were there three? We sing, "We Three Kings." The Bible doesn't specify that, though. You can look all through it, and it never says that there were three. Of course, some of the reasons that there would be number three are they brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So you'd figure at least three to hold the three treasure chests, maybe. Or maybe it's a reference to the kingdoms of the three kings that's in Psalm 72. So we've got a little bit there, Isaiah 49. In Psalm 72, it says, "May the kings of Tarshish and the rulers render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts." So, we don't know how many there were, but three maybe, 30 maybe, two maybe. Also, I don't think that the message of the Magi is exactly what they were. I've referred to them in three terms, interchangeably today, and always usually. So kings, magi, wise men, astrologers. And it depends on which Bible translation you look at to get one of those three, magi, wise men, or kings. But from this influence from Psalm 72 and Isaiah, they're often called kings. The Magi, though, in historic context, they were followers of a religion that most people haven't heard of. It wasn't one of the big three, Islam, Hebrew, Christianity, Jewish Christianity. It was called Zervanism. There's an encompassing creator, Zervan, and there's good and evil deities in Zervanism, Ahura Mazda and Ahriman. And the Magi looked to the stars for a guide. They're excellent astrologers. That's what they did. It's part of their religion. And they didn't follow any of the accepted religious practices of the day that the people that Jesus was born to would have followed. Isaiah 49, "Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, His Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers, kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful. The Holy One of Israel has chosen you." And from Isaiah 60, "Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their king shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you down, but in my favor I have had mercy on you." So, the message probably isn't about how many there were or what exactly they were or who they were. There's no name for the Magi in the Bible. But we have tradition that gives us some possibilities as to what their names are. There's Caspar. Balthazar and Melchior are the most common in our traditions. But you know, those names don't come until the 6th and 8th century texts from Egypt and Syria. And then there's some other traditions that give them the names of Hor, Karsudan, Bazanater, that's from Ethiopia, Kagba, and here's a really long name. You're going to really be happy that I didn't give you this one to read. I can't read it. Badad Akharida and Badad Ilma, that's from the Armenian tradition. So who they were. Don't know their names, don't know how many there were, we kind of know exactly what they were, but it's not really part of the message, or maybe it is. Or how about where they were from? If you were paying attention to the children's sermon, where were they from? The East, okay, we got that. There's a place. Sometimes it's known as the cradle of civilization, not in Africa, but another place that is also known sometimes as the cradle of civilization. Persia, yes. Modern-day Iraq. Marco Polo. You've heard of him. Marco Polo claims to have seen their tombs near Tehran in the 1200s. So, message isn't exactly any of those things. Or maybe the message is, maybe it's not in what they followed. It could have been an actual star. This thing moved, though. Could have been a planetary alignment where things were just so, and then it stopped and held there for a little while. Maybe it was a clouding or a disappearance of a star or a planet, because that can happen too in our field of vision from Earth. Or maybe the whole star thing is a reference or an attempt by the Bible writers to put something together from another Old Testament text from Numbers 24:17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the borderlands of Moab and the territory of all the Shethites. Maybe that's it too. These are all parts of the story that aren't written down in the Bible texts, but they're parts of it. How about when they arrived? If you were listening to the children's sermon again, when did they arrive? How long? Yeah, maybe 2 years. Because there's no stable, they're in a house. And the whole nastiness with Herod and the innocence and everything, that was children under the age of 2 years. I also don't think that it really is the gifts that they brought. The gifts, if you were here on Christmas Eve, the gifts really probably helped Joseph and Mary and Jesus as they went to Egypt, where they had some form of wealth to make that trip and make it for a little while. So the Bible says that they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. And from the song, We Three Kings, you know that gold is gold. Frankincense is an incense. It's a good-smelling thing. And myrrh is what you put onto bodies as, you know, before they go into the tomb. It's bitter. It's a perfume. And some people still wear myrrh. I don't know why. Anyone wear, maybe that'd be offensive now. No one's going to say that they wear myrrh perfume. But you can still get it. I don't. Isaiah 66. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The bringing of the gifts to Jesus was, unlike giving gifts to charity, an act to honor royalty. Instead of the Magi coming in power to help this poor family, they came worshiping and giving honor and glory to a new king. And something like that, that can really reframe our thoughts about charity and giving, helping all to realize that giving to other people, just people helping people, that's really all that we're doing when we're engaging in charitable acts. It should never be about power. Look what I have, and here's what you have, and you ought to be grateful. No. Never about power, but honor and respect and attention to one another. So that's a really great message to learn from the visit of the Magi. But it's probably not the central message. There's all these different things that can be important messages. So what is the message of the visit of the Magi? Another part from the children's sermon. I believe that this message is that the visitors who were from another land, who were from another culture, another religion, somehow recognized Jesus. They didn't have to. It wasn't part of anything that they needed to do. And somehow they did. But before we start jumping to, you know, saying everyone should recognize Jesus, the Magi did. Why doesn't everyone open their eyes and see Jesus and become followers of Jesus? You could do that, but maybe we should focus in a different direction. More personal. Not everyone else. Right here. Me. You. Do we recognize Jesus? We do have a baby in a manger here on this last Sunday of Christmas. But we don't have a baby to visit. How can we see Jesus? How can we be the love of Jesus? That's really the message. Matthew 25:40. It's not about Christmas at all, but it's words of Jesus. And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of these, the least, who are members of my family, you did it to me. So strangers in this morning's Bible reading, this very familiar Bible reading, this Bible reading that ties in with Christmas, and so much so that we put all the characters in the manger scene. But strangers saw Jesus' face. How do we reach out to people with that kind of love? They didn't come to convert Jesus to their religion. They came to pay tribute and to respect and to honor. So how do we reach out to others in love? How do you do it? How are we going to do it? I know that we're on our way. We at St. Paul's United Church of Christ, I know that we're committed to living out our call to love unconditionally and welcome extravagantly. We do. We give our time. We give our money and ourselves to help others whenever we see or learn of a need. We do respond to needs and also work for justice. Do we do it perfectly all the time? Absolutely not. But this is a congregation that has and will continue to reach out. People helping people. One of our most recent projects that's really just getting started is working together with others in the community to help resettle a refugee family in the near future. And yeah, we do fail to do it sometimes, maybe even often. Wonder what holds us back from doing that? And it's probably, if we're thinking personally, not everyone else, why don't they recognize, why doesn't someone else do this? Why don't I do this on a regular basis? Maybe it's because there are people that I'm angry with. Maybe it's people that you're angry with. Or people we're estranged from. Or with people we wish would just keep their opinions to themselves. Or maybe with people that we want to be kind to, but we just can't seem to do it. So we fail. But here on this first Sunday of the new year, 2016, this last Sunday of Christmas, this Epiphany Sunday, I don't want this morning's sermon to be one that leaves you with a sense of failure or anger. I know that we all fail. That's evident. We don't always fail. And the good news is that when we do fail, we get to turn around and keep moving on. We do. God is a forgiving God. God is a God of restoration and reconciliation. God helps us to do better. So let's continue our journey in this new year. Let's spend as much time as we can living out love. Let's spend energy by being a people of peace and kindness. And let's notice and honor, respect, recognize, and pay attention to the humanity in all of us. Let's be a people who look around and recognize Jesus, just like the Magi who followed the star. Amen.